I'm Rainey Aronson, executive producer of the PBS investigative series Frontline, and you're listening to the Frontline Dispatch. This time, in collaboration with NPR, the voices of coal miners in Appalachia, coal miners suffering from black lung disease. The miners, more than 30 of them, were interviewed by NPR's Howard Berkus and his colleagues over the past year. It's part of our investigation into the resurgence of the worst form of black lung. Howard asked the miners about their many years mining coal, about the disease, and who they blame.
The Frontline Dispatch is made possible by the Abrams Foundation Journalism Initiative, committed to excellence.
The Frontline Dispatch is made possible by the Abrams Foundation, committed to excellence in journalism, and by the Frontline Journalism Fund, with major support from John and Joanne Hagler.
Support for Frontline Dispatch comes from the Massachusetts General Hospital Cancer Center, dedicated to providing the latest therapies and cancer specialists who are experienced in your cancer. When you hear the word cancer, their team is ready. Learn more at massgeneral.org/cancer.
Greg.
Hey.
I'm Howard Berkus from National Public Radio. Great to meet you.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to go in and talk?
I'm Greg Kelly. I'm in Lowood, Kentucky. Well, I dropped out of high school. I was working in a grocery store, and I left the grocery store and went to coal mining. I felt like coal mining was my way of living.
It was something that was in our blood that we loved to do. My name's Charles Shortridge, and I live in Meadowview, Virginia, and I've worked 28 years in the coal industry. We loved working in coal areas, coal mines. That's all we knew was hard work and working. That's how we provided for our families.
I think it's a lot to do with the camaraderie of the people. You get closer to them than you do your own family. My name's Roy Mullins, Roy Edward Mullins from Clintwood, Virginia.
I love coal mining. If I was able today, I'd be working in the mines. My name is Paul Kinder, and I live in a little town called Honeacre, Virginia. My full career was underground, and I run a roof bolter and a contiguous miner, and I was a foreman, and, I just loved it. Couldn't wait to get to work.
My name is John Gibson. I'm from Appalachia, Virginia. I mean, it's a different world. It's just unexplainable if you ain't never done it.
The smell. I remember when I was a little boy, my daddy sometimes would take me to the mines where he worked at. And man, I love the smell of that drift mouth and everything. It's just a different smell. I like to go smell one today.
I mean, pictures don't do it no justice. It's just something you have to see, be in there doing it.
It's peace and quiet in the coal mines. It's dark. That's the way the coal mine was. My name is Sherilyn Green. I worked 15 years underground. It's a place in the coal mines, and only one person in this world been there. It's God. And you're cutting through the mountains, and nobody been there before except God and you.
Once you get the coal dust in your veins, you're like a big fish. You're hooked. My name is Rodney Sexton. That song, you know, coal dust in your veins, that's what it is. Coal mines was good to me, but God's been even better. That's the only way I can look at it. But the one thing I didn't want was black lung, but I got it anyway.
What's it like now with the disease for you?
Oh, it's terrible. Bill Cantrell, I'm from Pensacola, Kentucky, head of Palm Creek. I mean, it's unexplainable. It's just, I don't know how to explain it.
It's a horrible-looking thing. You got nodules that's on your lungs. It's caused from coal dust, rock dust. It looks just exactly like to me, it looks like some kind of a eyeball looking right out of your lung, you know, a big brown eye in there.
It's just like turns your lungs to concrete. My name is Jackie Yates.
My name is Noah K. Counts. I live in Clintwood, Virginia. You just stop breathing, and you just wake up, and there you are. You're awake.
I mean, I've done that several times. jump up out of the bed, think I'm dying, and run through the house or go out or open my front door and run outside, you know, trying to get enough air to where I can breathe. And there ain't no funny feeling, you know.
I'm Jack Horn, and I'm from Kemper, Kentucky. The only thing I could liken it to is like if somebody ever holds you underwater till you thought you were going to drown. And when you come up, you're gasping for air, and that's about what it's like, you know, when you have a lung attack.
Edward Fuller from Steele, Kentucky. But it's affected my whole being. And I hate it so bad I can't understand it at times.
Looking back on your mining career, can you think about what it was that happened that might have caused your black lung?
Yeah, the coal dust. The dust.
Whether you're a bogeyman, scoop man, roof boulder man, boss, electrician, it don't matter. You're going to get exposure to dust.
I was in the dust all the time. James L. Muncy, M-U-N-C-Y. I come out of there and be as white as a sheet of ghost. Where I come out of there, and the only thing you could see me was my eyes.
Sometimes you can't see. I mean, it's so dusty you can't see. It's like being in a room full of smoke.
It'd be just like walking into a fog bank. Harold Dotson, live in Phelps, Kentucky.
You just watch it fall off like ash. It's thick.
You can smell it. You can taste it.
And when you come outside, you get a drink of water or Coke or whatever, you know, and you hark it up and spit it up, you're spitting up gooks of coal dust. And that is embedded into your system.
I used to spit it up constantly. I'd be home over the weekends blowing it both pure coal dust.
That's just the way it is, really, I think. My name's James Hayes, and I'm from Pike County, Pinson Fort, Kentucky. You know, I mean, it's a dusty job. It's just dusty in the coal mines, regardless. And if you stay long enough, you're more likely going to get black lung.
The journalism behind the Frontline Dispatch is possible thanks to the support of you, our listeners. Join us in supporting journalism that holds our leaders accountable and pursues the truth, wherever it may lead, by making a gift at frontline.org/dispatch. Thank you.
Do you blame then any part of this system for your disease?
I blame the whole mining industry, you know, the companies and all. I'm Jimmy Wampler. I work for little mines. I work big mines.
You got people out there that runs mines that all they want is coal. They don't care about violations. They don't care about nothing else. They just want coal.
Coal. Get the coal. Get the coal.
They don't care if you live or die. It's the truth of it.
Name of the game is run coal.
Everybody's after the dollar. My name's Danny Thornsbury, and I was a boulder man, scoop man, drill man, done it all. And then I ended up being a foreman. There was just a lot of laws that was couldn't really do in mine coal profitably.
Roy Sparks, I'm from Rock House, Kentucky. The companies has got they're so slick, I mean, you know.
Fudging everything.
It's a hide and seek for real. They try to act like they're complying with the laws, but even the inspectors know they're not.
And you had to do what they said. If you didn't, it's your hide.
You kept your mouth shut. If you didn't, they'd fire you. So I just kept my mouth shut and went on. But I paid for it in the long run. Sure have, and I'm sure every other miner has too.
I don't fault anybody. I think it's come a long ways, and I don't know where they could go from here to make it better. I really don't. Bruce Knopfschneider from White PA. The companies that I worked for, none of them were blatantly putting you into an environment that they knowed was harmful.
I think it's just the industry you're working in. I don't think that you can work in the coal industry and expect much different.
Well, I don't know about that. To me, the miners should be protected at all costs. My name is Zach Reif. I'm from the Peapatch area of Buchanan County.
Well, you gave them 110% of your life. It's not fair.
Almost every guy that I know in our church was a coal miner or a strip miner. Worked in a strip mine. Yeah, a lot of people I say go to church with her. These coal miners may have break long. My pastor, he has break long. Bill has break long. Mike has break long.
My father-in-law.
My older brother's got break long.
My brother, my uncles.
My dad's got break long. And
the whole generation, you know, everybody around me, the whole neighborhood.
Since 2011, I have lost 7 friends.
Yeah. We dying off like crazy right now.
Nobody wants to die, but it's part of life. But to go the way I saw my brother go, it don't feel good to know how you're going to go.
I don't think I've been around that long. Just to be honest with you, you know. It's just like cancer, silent killer. That's what it is, silent killer.
You're just like on your deathbed, you know. You can stop breathing at night, and there you are. You're dead, you know. Edward Wayne Brown, living in Buchanan County, Virginia. It just, nobody looks forward to dying, you know, but it's a coming, and that worries me.
It's rough. You can't enjoy nothing.
It's just like a light switch being turned on and turned off. All your plans that you had, you know.
I can't go climb mountains. I can't go fishing.
I used to love to cut split firewood. I can't do that.
Couldn't play ball with my grandsons. It's sickening what a man's got to go through with.
I feel like failure. I feel like I actually feel like I'm about an inch high, buddy.
You feel like you're useless. That's it, useless. That's exactly what you feel like. You're useless. It ain't no way to feel. It ain't.
You just can't do it no more. And like I say, it's pretty hard.
I go out and I just sit down and have a good cry. You know, that's all you do. Because this black lung is a death sentence.
If I had all to do over, I would do everything over, even knowing the outcome.
I tell you honest truth, I would love to be doing it today.
But I wouldn't advise you or nobody else to go back in the mines or go on the strip.
I tried to get my son, tried to keep him out of the mines.
I said, now look, you're going to go to school or you're going to get you a job. And he said, nah, I want to stay here. And he said, I want to go into work in the mines.
No, Dad, I want to work in the mines. I want to be like you. And guess where he's at? He's working in the mines. But he made his decision, just like I made mine. I just hope I don't have to put him in the ground.
You know, it actually helps the miner himself to even get to voice things out that's really bottled up inside of him.
All right, well, I really appreciate you speaking with me.
Well, I appreciate you having me. It's a pleasure sharing it with you.
You can see more of Howard's reporting on black lung disease in our film, Coal's Deadly Dust, streaming at frontline.org. This podcast was reported by NPR's Howard Berkus and produced by Kat Shuknecht and Nicole Beemsterboer. Also contributing at NPR were Adelina Lancianese, Wo Jingnan, and Robert Benincasa. The senior supervising editor for investigations at NPR is Robert Little. Additional interviews by Elaine McMillian Sheldon and by Benny Becker of Ohio Valley Resource. For PBS's Frontline, Andrew Metz is our managing editor. Lauren Azell Kinlaw is our senior story editor. Sarah Childress is our senior reporter and editor. Amy Gaines is our series coordinating producer. And our special counsel is Dale Cohen. The Frontline Dispatch is produced by series producer Sophie McKibben, podcast editor Jeb Sharp, and production assistant Gabrielle Burbay. Music in this episode by Stellwagen Symphonette. I'm Rainey Aronson, executive producer of Frontline. I hope you'll keep listening to The Frontline Dispatch.
The Frontline Dispatch is made possible by the Abrams Foundation Journalism Initiative, committed to excellence.
From PRX.